Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pardon me? Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about what on Wednesday nights?
Faith.
Faith. Amen. What are we talking about on Sundays? Miracles and the glory. Amen. What is the glory? Glory, the glory is the goodness of God in manifestation, in demonstration. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about faith. We're talking about the basics of faith. And it's necessary because many people believe their doubts and doubt their beliefs. Do you hear that? Many people believe their doubts and they doubt their beliefs. We need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Amen?
Amen.
We need to believe the Word of God. Amen? So, when in doubt, don't. Amen? Do you get that? Doubt your doubts, believe your beliefs. Feed your faith. Dr. Summerall used to say all the time, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Amen? Let's start here tonight in Mark chapter 11. We're going to be talking about how to believe with your heart tonight. Amen? How to believe with your heart. How to get into faith with your heart. Because Jesus said, we can have what we say if we do not doubt in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Maybe you could, maybe I'll just do it right here myself, Barbara. Thank you. Hallelujah. You're over there in Mark 11. I'm going to mark this Bible for myself here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking to myself up here. You're going over there to Mark chapter 11. Amen? I'm going to impress we're going to be doing something a little different here tonight. Amen? We're here in Mark 11. This is lesson number 12 in this series. You've been here long enough to know what we're talking about. You've been here long enough to know what this narrative is all about here in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, no man eat fruit of you ever again forever. And they came back 24 hours later, and the fig tree was dead. He cursed it from the roots. From the inside out, 24 hours later, it was dead. Amen? Let's pick it up in verse 20. We've been using this as a text narrative pretty consistently through this series. And in the morning, after having cursed the fig tree, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, would you look at that? The fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, to all the boys who were standing there with them, have faith in God. Now you know by now that that actually says, Jesus actually said, have the God kind of faith. And then he proceeded to show them what it is and how it works. For verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you know by now this is symbolic of a human obstacle, be thou removed. We can speak to the obstacles in our lives and command them to be removed. And be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart. Please make note of this because we're going to look at this more closely tonight. Shall not doubt in his or her heart. In his heart. He didn't say head. He said heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he or she saith. Jesus said, if we do not doubt in our hearts, we can have what we say. He didn't say, if we shall not doubt in our heads. And there's a difference in many people read right over this and don't realize what Jesus is saying here. Amen? Faith will work in your heart even when there's doubt in your head. Faith will work in your heart, even when there's doubt in your head. We're going to look at that. Amen? But I want to remind you, first, recently we had a lesson about the measure of faith. And we saw in that lesson from Romans 12:3, at the new birth, we all receive what Paul referred to as the measure of faith. And then I think it was the last time we were together, we talked about the fact that once you receive the measure of faith, you can increase it, and you can have strong faith, or you can decrease it by not bothering with God's Word and have weak faith. We saw that in the Scripture, didn't we? You can have great faith, or you can have little faith. You can have weak faith, or you can have strong faith. And we saw that Jesus commends people who develop their faith and strengthen their faith muscles. And He rebukes those who don't bother. Isn't that what happened with Thomas? We're going to look at Thomas here in a few minutes. He rebuked him and called them faithless. Amen? So let's keep that in mind as we move through this lesson tonight. We all start out with the same measure of faith. And we can develop it into great faith, or we can decrease it into little faith by not bothering to keep the word before the eye gate and in the ear gate. Amen? Now, hallelujah. And as I said, go to Romans chapter 10 if you would. We're going to look in this lesson at the importance of recognizing that real Bible faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. What do you mean by the heart, Pastor? You're going to see. We're going to take you to the Scripture and you'll see. Amen? Real Bible faith is of the heart, not of the head. Jesus said in our text Scripture, He used the expression, if we shall not doubt in our hearts, but shall believe with our hearts, our spirits, we shall have whatsoever we say. Amen? He's talking about using your heart or your spirit to believe God. We will look at it more specifically. It'll get clearer for you as we go along. Look right here in Romans chapter 10. Let's go back to the day you were saved. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, you see that? Not your head. And shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Notice the Bible says you were saved when you finally believed with your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead. You heard it with your head over and over. In most cases, it takes most people multiple times of hearing it in their head over and over that Jesus was raised from the dead. Some from youth, some as adults get the revelation. It usually takes, for the average person, hearing it over and over in your head before it finally drops down into your heart and you're able to believe it from your heart and confess it with your mouth, and it's at that moment that you're saved. Some people hear it one time, and it drops right from their head, right into their heart. They believe it immediately. A lot of children are that way. And they'll believe immediately. It goes right from head knowledge to heart revelation knowledge, and they confess it, and they're saved. Some people take longer than others. Some people are more quick about this than others. But the point that we're making here is, Paul said, if you believe in your heart, it's got to get from your head into your heart or your spirit. If you confess from your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. That happened to you the day you were saved. It finally went from your head down into your spirit. It came by way of revelation. Saving grace was imparted to you. You confessed and you were saved. And there's not a devil in hell that could stop it. Amen? God made it that way. Now you go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. Anybody in here get saved listening to Billy Graham? By any chance? Anybody in here get saved listening to Billy Graham by any chance? Amen? Hallelujah. That man has preached the gospel to millions! Millions! Millions of people! Excuse me. Hallelujah. Multiple millions of people. Somebody said he's preached to more people than anybody in the world, but that's not true. James Robeson has preached to more people than Billy Graham. He's got the records to prove it, too. Amen. Anybody know Brother James? James? He's preached to more people than Billy Graham. Hallelujah. We want to see right here. I want to answer the question. Someone asked me the question. What do you mean by my heart, Pastor? What do you mean I have to believe with my heart? And I want to show you how I answered right here. Your heart is actually your human spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a
And I live in the body. But I'm not a body. And I'm not a soul. I am a spirit. Created in God's image. God's a spirit. Because He's a spirit. That means I'm a spirit. I have a soul. Everybody go like this. I have a soul. And it is comprised of my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotions. But I'm not a soul. I'm a spirit. My soul is connected to my spirit. But I am a spirit. Just like God is a spirit. Didn't Jesus say in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth? God is a what?
Spirit.
Genesis 1:26 says that we've all been created in God's image and in God's likeness, right? If He's a spirit and we're created in His image and likeness, guess what? You ain't nobody. You're a spirit. Now look right here in 1 Peter chapter 3. You know this, but this is the basics of faith. Amen? So I'm just talking like nobody knows nothing. That's the best way to go. Amen? I'm not saying you don't know nothing. I'm saying I don't know nothing. But I'm just assuming nobody knows nothing. So we just start with the basics and we go from the beginning so nobody gets left out. Your heart, when Jesus said, believe with your heart, and Paul said, believe with your heart, they were talking about your human spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, Peter talking about the way women should and should not dress and present themselves. In verse 4, he said, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Do you see that? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, we're going to wait till everybody's there. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 4, say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Say oh my if you need some time to find it. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Is everybody there? I'm not hearing everybody say amen. I'm looking for an amen because I know some people didn't find it. Did everybody find it? Okay, 1 Peter 3. Verse 4, Peter said, let it be the hidden man of the heart. See, you can't see it. In that which is not corruptible. That word's actually immortal. See, your spirit is hidden in your body. You can't see it, and it's not corruptible, meaning it's immortal. It lives forever. You see that? Even the ornament of a meek and quiet, what? He said, let the hidden man of the heart, in that which is immortal, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. He's telling women and men to decorate your spirit. Not your body. Amen? And he said right here, your spirit, he called it the hidden man of the heart. You see, you can't see it with your eyes. And you can't feel it with your hands. But it is indeed inside of your body. It's inside your earth vessel, your earth vehicle. Amen? It's hidden. It's not corruptible. It's immortal. And it's your spirit, he said. He's saying here, in essence, your spirit, in your body, hidden in your body, and it lives forever. It's your heart. He called it the hidden man of the heart. Jesus called it the heart. Peter called it the hidden man of the heart. You understand that, don't you? I'm just kind of trying to drive that in, amen? He's talking about the spirit of man, which is hidden from the physical senses. But it's in there. You know, that's why the Bible says your eyes are the windows of your spirit. You want to communicate with me? You want to talk to me? You look me in the eyes, don't you? Unless you're Terry giving her testimony, but she's working on that. Amen? Right, Terry? Hallelujah. Just a little pulpit humor. If you weren't here, it's none of your business. We look in one another's eyes because we're looking inside. You see, you look in my eyes, you're looking at me because I'm in here. I'm in here. This isn't me. This is me in here. I'm inside of here. Amen? The immortal John, the eternal John is on the inside. The hidden John that you can't touch or perceive with your senses is on the inside. Just like you're on the inside of you. And Jesus said, from the inside you have to learn how to believe His Word. From the inside, we need to learn how to get into faith. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 4. Job. You're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to just tell you, you can stick it in your notes if you like, Job 32:8. Job said, there is a spirit within a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Amen? Did you get that? There is a spirit where? In man. In the inspiration of the Almighty gives him, the spirit man, understanding. Understanding of what? Of his word. Amen? There's a spirit on the inside of you as you sit here tonight. Look what Paul said right here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Paul said, "For what are we talking about in here tonight?
Faith.
We're talking about faith, and we're talking about believing God with our hearts, not our heads. And we're establishing what the heart is, what Jesus was talking about when he said, if you believe with your heart. And we're seeing, we just saw from Peter's writing, that our heart is our immortal spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Can you see that? There's an inward man, and there's an outward man. The outer man is the physical you. The inner man is the spiritual you. It's the hidden man of the heart that Peter referred to. Paul called it the inward man. Jesus called it the heart. Peter called it the hidden man of the heart. The immortal, non-corruptible human spirit that's created in the image and in the likeness of God. Amen. Your outward man grows older day by day. Your reflexes slow down. Amen. Your hair turns gray. Everything that used to be up here is now down here. This is what happens. Gravity pulls you, amen, into the center of the earth. And your body cooperates with it. But he said your inward man is renewed day by day. Your inward man, if you put the Word of God in your spirit, refreshes itself day by day. It doesn't get older like your body gets older. It's renewed day by day by the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen. The real you. You know, the part of you that's going to live forever. You'll get that old bag of bones of a body back one day after you lay it down. John chapter 5, 26-28 says, amen, at the resurrection of the righteous, your body will come back up and be perfected like Jesus' body and rejoined by your human spirit. But when you lay that body down, you don't die. Let's all just pay attention up here. I'll preach a baby any day. Amen? Amen? When you lay that body down, you don't die. Your body needs to be put into the earth for safekeeping and until Jesus comes to raise it from what we call the dead. You know, I hate that word because we don't die. And your spirit goes off into the eternal you, the real you, the part of you created in the image and likeness of God, goes right into heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To depart and be with Christ is far better. Amen. We're talking about your human spirit. Jesus called it your heart. Paul called it the inward man. Peter called it the part of you that's not corruptible, the hidden man of the heart. Amen? And this is the part of you through which you operate in faith. You cannot operate in faith out of your head. It's got to be done through the human heart. Now go to John chapter 20. Amen? Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. It will only operate through the human heart or the human spirit. It will not operate through the human mind. Amen? We're going to see how it works briefly here tonight. But first, we're going to go back and we're going to look at the two kinds of faith that we've looked at in the past two lessons, I believe. Amen? In John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We see over here this unfortunate incident concerning who we call Doubting Thomas. Amen? Amen? His unbelief and his refusing to believe, his insolence, his stubbornness, he was obstinate and rebellious and prejudiced towards the Word of God and the things of God. He refused to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now here in John 20, the disciples, as you know, reporting to Thomas that they saw Jesus. And in John chapter 20, verse 25, pick it right up here. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." He's operating out of his head. Then after 8 days again, his disciples were within. Now 8 days later, Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. You know when Jesus rose from the dead, he stayed in the earth for 40 days? Everybody know that? He stayed in this earth for 40 days. You find that in Acts 1:3. Teaching his disciples. Showing up from church to church. Folks who skipped church the day he happened to be there didn't get to see him. It's like folks around here. Amen? You skip church, you don't get to see what God's doing. Amen? Now, Thomas was with them the following Sunday. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut right through the wall in his perfected body. And he stood right in the midst of them, and he said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Hey, boy, come over here for a minute. I want to talk to you. Put your finger inside my hand. Take the other hand and thrust it into my side. And do not be faithless, but believing." What did he call Thomas? When you insist on seeing something, before you believe it, Jesus said, "You're what?" Amen. Say, "That ain't me." Amen. Not me, amen. "Be not faithless, but be believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God, I blew it." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You see what Jesus is doing here? I said this to you before. I'm going to say it to you again. He is pronouncing a special blessing upon all. He's just alerting Thomas to it. He's not just blessing Thomas. He's talking to all of us. He said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." He is pronouncing a special blessing of God upon all who believe without seeing. There is no blessing such as that pronounced on doubters. That's only for believers. Amen? Just like there's a special blessing of God on the lives and the finances of all who bless Israel, there's a special blessing on all who believe without seeing. So now you're talking about me, Pastor. Say, "Now you're talking about me, Pastor. You don't insist on seeing before you believe, do you?" Because you don't have the Thomas kind of faith. The physical faith. Circumstantial faith. You got to see the circumstances before you believe. That's head faith. And Jesus said, faith works from the heart, not the head. That's how Thomas got in trouble. And now go over to Romans chapter 4. There's another kind of faith. Does anybody know what it is? Anybody remember? It's the Abraham kind of faith. See, that's me. Let's go over here and look at it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We call this kind of stuff over here the Thomas kind of faith, the head faith. Amen. We don't want nothing to do with that. Amen. We want to have to do with the other kind of faith in the Bible that believes in spite of outward circumstances. Amen? The kind of faith that keeps on believing God in spite of what it sees and feels. Amen? This is the kind of faith that moves God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." How? With your head or with your heart? With your spirit, man. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, Abraham wasn't moved by mental reasoning or by his physical senses like Thomas was. Amen? Let's go here. Romans chapter 4, you there? Now, you remember these folks. Abraham's about 100 years old. Sarah's about 75 years old. And God told him, he said, "You're going to have a baby." Amen? "In your old age. You're going to have a baby." Amen? how Abraham was older than everybody in this room, anybody in this room. Amen? As it is written, Paul quoting God, talking to Abraham in verse 17, as it is written, I have, this is 25 years before they had the baby. And notice God said, I have. Please say, I have. You know, God speaks of things that are not as though they were. That's what prophecy is. It's history before it happens. Think on that. Prophecy is history before it happens. I'll say it again, just so it gets in you. Prophecy is history before it even happens. He said, I have. Look at, that's the past tense. 25 years before it happened, he said, it's a done deal. He said, it's an established fact in my mind. That's what God said, amen? I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they are? As though they are going to be? Were. Past tense. 25 years before the child was born, he said, I've already made you a father of many nations. It's a done deal. Why? Because I said so, says the Spirit of God. When God says something, it comes to pass. Same is true with His Word. When He says something about you in His Word, it'll come to pass as long as you get your words in line with His words. This is where a lot of Christians are falling down on the job. Amen? No matter what kind of teaching they have on faith, how often they hear the subject of faith taught, they still say things like, it's not possible, can't do it, can't be done. Okay, see you later. You're going to get a rebuke from Jesus because you're being faithless. Amen? We need to operate in the Abraham kind of faith that speaks of things that are not as though they were. Look in verse 18, it says, Abraham, who against natural hope, believed in supernatural hope. That's faith. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. You see, Abraham, he's operating out of his spirit. Unlike Thomas, who is operating out of his head. Verse 19. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Here's one way you operate out of your spirit. You don't look at your body. You don't look at your physical circumstances. You look at the Word. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not say out of his head, God, that's not possible. She's too old. I'm too old. Can't happen. End of story. That's how Thomas talked. Not Abraham. Abraham, in verse 20, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God for that baby. Thank you for that baby, Father. I believe I receive that child in Jesus' name. I believe that I am now, by faith, the father of many nations in Jesus' strong name. You think Thomas would have done that? Absolutely not. But that's what Abraham did. Amen? He staggered not at the promise of God, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, because he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe that what God has promised you in this book, which we refer to frequently as the precious, holy, written Word of God, do you believe that God is able to perform everything that's in this book? Abraham was. Thomas wasn't. You are. Amen? You know, Abraham didn't have the Holy Ghost to help him, and you do. You have the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who takes hold together with you against every doubt that comes against your mind. He lives on the inside of you, strengthening you and quickening you from the inside out. Abraham didn't have that, and he stayed strong in faith. So any born-again believer who's baptized with the Holy Ghost is without excuse. Forever speaking against or contrary to the precious, holy, written Word of God. We're talking about believing from the heart. It was necessary to go back and see the difference between Thomas and Abraham again. When Jesus said, it's necessary to believe from the heart, he meant to believe in spite of natural circumstances and go with God anyway, just like Abraham. Isn't that what Abraham did? That's what the Abraham kind of faith does. It believes God and goes with God even when you have to go crosswise or contrary to everything in the natural. You go with God and you keep your mouth in line with God's word. That is believing with your heart. Even when your head's telling you, what in the world are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you saying? Hello, everyone. You see the difference between your head and your spirit? It's so simple to operate out of your heart, even I can do it. Amen? It very simply means to go with God in spite of circumstances, just like Abraham and Sarah did, and they produced a child when she was 100 and he's 125. Amen? Any older folks want to get pregnant? No, okay, well then you don't have to, amen? That's a special miracle ordained of God. But there's other things you should be using your faith for, amen? Because without using your faith, not from your head, but from your heart, from your spirit, the hidden man of the heart, the incorruptible you, the immortal you, when we refuse to do that, we're not pleasing to God. Jesus said you're faithless when you talk circumstances instead of talking his word. What are we talking about here tonight? Believing with the heart. Somebody said, Pastor, I tried that for a while. It didn't work. I tried it, Pastor. It didn't work. I said, no. They said, I tried faith. It didn't work. I tried it. It didn't work. I said, no. Faith tried you. And you didn't work. You just chose to not keep yourself in line with the word. Don't say it didn't work. You didn't work is what I told them. Faith tried you. You didn't work. You can do this. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I'll tell you again what he said. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and you know that that means a human problem, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I'm going to point it out again. He didn't say, don't doubt in your head. He said, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you see that? If you don't doubt in your heart. Faith will work in your heart even when there's doubt in your head. Just don't let it get down into your heart. When doubts come into your head, would you like to know how they get down into your heart? By you talking them. When you talk doubt, and you hear yourself talk doubt, let's just say you believe in God for healing in your body. Amen? And you believe in who his own self, 1 Peter 2:24, bore my sins in his body on the cross, that I, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. By his stripes, I am healed. Satan, I bind your authority to put this cancer in my body in Jesus' name. And your head starts telling you, but the growth's getting bigger. But the growth's getting bigger. The growth is getting bigger. Now you know the growth is getting bigger. You start talking and you start, you're on the telephone. Yeah, I'm believing God, I'm healed, but the growth is getting bigger. You just spoke against the word of God from your head. And if you continue to do that, it will go down into your spirit. You'll begin to believe that over the word of God. The more you speak it, the more it will over... Unfortunately, unbelief will override faith. And the next thing you know, I'm getting a phone call to preach the funeral when I laid hands on you for healing 3 months ago. You understand what I'm saying? When doubt comes to your head, don't let it get into your heart by taking that thought and saying it. When you speak words of doubt from your head, Brother Hagin used to say, I can't stop birds from flying over my head, but I don't have to let them nest in my hair. Amen? He was talking about doubt. He said, when doubt would come to my mind, I wouldn't speak it. Jesus said not to. Because if I do, it'll get down into my spirit. When it gets into my spirit and I start repeating it over and over, now I'm developing faith in cancer, not faith in healing, and I'm a goner. Matthew chapter 6. Are you there? What are we talking about in this Pentecostal classroom tonight? Faith. Here, look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Let's go over here for time's sake to verse 27. He said, which of you, are you there? By taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature. Which of you by taking thought can make your life better? He's talking about worry. He's talking about taking worrisome thoughts. See, they come to your mind, but you don't have to take them. You just tell the devil, I'm not taking this. Amen? He said, which of you by taking thought, thoughts are going to come, doubts are going to come, but you don't have to take them. And why take, in verse 28, why take ye thought for clothing? Or worry about clothing? Why take anxious thoughts? When a thought comes to your mind, you're never going to have those clothes you need to go to school. Or you're never going to have those clothes that you need for that new job. You start talking that. Now you've taken that anxious thought, and that's going to come to pass in your life. Instead of Philippians 4:19, my God shall meet every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He's rebuking people like he rebuked Thomas for taking anxious thoughts from their head, speaking them, and letting it get down into their human spirit. Look at verse 31. Therefore, he said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where all shall we be clothed? He said, take no thought. That word thought, by the way, is anxiety. When you look it up in the original Greek, it's anxiety. He's saying, don't take Satan's anxious thoughts that he throws at your head, speak them with your mouth, and get them down in your spirit, because then they'll come to pass in your life. Hello? Everybody with us here tonight? He's talking about not receiving Satan's doubts in your mind. Look at verse 34. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow. He didn't say don't prepare for it. He said don't worry about it. Don't take anxious thoughts for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't get caught up in that cycle, in that trap of taking anxious thought about tomorrow and the next day in the future. Jesus very specifically forbids us to worry here and to take anxious thoughts. Because he knows when we take those thoughts by saying them, they get into our spirit and they come to pass in our life. It quenches and cancels the will of God. And the next thing you know, you're saying the word of God didn't, like that person who said to me, I tried that faith stuff, it didn't work. I said, no, faith tried you. You didn't work. You didn't stay with it. You yielded to the outward circumstances. Just begin griping about the price of gas, griping about the price of groceries, griping about the economy, griping about the political situation in the United States, griping, griping, griping. And Numbers chapter 13 says the gripers get the vipers. Amen? Israel came under multiple curses in the wilderness for constantly complaining and constantly speaking against the precious, holy, written word of God. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10 and 11 that everything in the Old Testament was written for our example and for our admonition. To look at the way they did things wrongly and don't imitate their mistakes, but imitate their faith. Imitate the times they get into faith. Hallelujah. We don't have to take anxious thoughts. Amen. Devil comes to me, tells me I'm going to die prematurely. I say, I don't receive that thought. That wasn't my thought. I don't take that thought. I'll live long and strong. I will live long and strong, and I will recount the illustrious works of God on my behalf, according to Psalm 118, devil. Amen? I don't receive that thought, and that's what we need to practice doing. When thoughts of doubt and despair, lack and frustration and confusion and sickness and disease and poverty and premature death, when those thoughts come, rebuke them. Rebuke them. Rebuke them. Jesus said, don't take them. Don't take those anxious thoughts by speaking them. They'll come to pass in your life. Amen. Speak the word of God over your situation. Speak the solution to the problem. I'm going to show you something in Acts chapter 16 before we close, if I could. Amen. You go to Acts chapter 16. Listen, you already have the God kind of faith. Amen. It's the same faith that God used to create the smallest atom in the biggest galaxy. You have it. You have a measure of it. Amen. And you can increase it or you can decrease it. In faith, Acts chapter 16, faith will work in your heart even when your mind is being bombarded with doubts. As long as you don't speak those doubts forth. Amen? As long as you don't speak those doubts forth. As long as you don't take those anxious thoughts, Jesus said, by saying them. Amen? We've got to get a hold of this if we want faith to work. We need to watch what we say. I'm dealing with some symptoms in my body earlier today. And someone said to me, you all right? They could tell I was dealing with symptoms. This isn't a put down. You know who you are. I'm just using this as an illustration. The person was just expressing concern for me. You need prayer or something? But they said to me, you all right? Instead of me saying, well, you know, my eyes are kind of running, and my nose has been running, my throat is scratchy, and I think I'm taking a cold. You know what I said? They said, you all right? I said, me, who his own self bore my sins in his body on the cross, that I, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, and by his stripes I am healed. And that individual said, all right. Amen? You're all right. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how we talk. We don't say we're taking the cold. We don't say we're taking the flu. We don't say cancer runs in the family. I guess I'm prone to it too. Healing runs in my family. My genealogy is from Jesus, not Russ and Margaret Hamill. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Who, by the way, both went to heaven prematurely for not obeying the word. Amen? So I didn't follow their example in life. I followed Jesus' example. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I led them both to the Lord before they died too, and they should have gone to hell the way they lived. Well, truly, I'm not putting anybody down. I should have gone to hell long time ago. You believe in God for your family to be saved? Anybody in here believing for loved ones to be saved? You need to believe it with your heart. You need to believe with your heart. Never again say with your mouth, it doesn't look like they're going to make it. When God promises, not one of your family members will go off into eternity without accepting Jesus Christ, if only you'll believe with your heart. It doesn't matter if your head's telling you he's not going to make it, he's not going to make it. The Bible says he's going to make it if you'll speak it forth. Amen? My parents were my greatest enemies in life. True or not true? No need for details. Probably my mother. You couldn't have had a greater enemy in life than my mother. Amen? And my father just propped her up. He's just a panty waist. Now, he's in heaven now, praise be to God, because I put my faith on it for both of them, and God didn't let him go off into eternity without confessing Christ. Because I put my faith on it, amen? And I blessed them as my enemies and blessed them as my persecutors, amen? But if I started saying, if anybody deserves to go to hell, it's Margaret. Well, that's where she'd be today, amen? I've done this with family members time and time again over the years. Look at Acts chapter 16. We'll close with this, but you want to hear this, amen? Because this is good. We could apply this to healing. We can apply it to finances, but I'm impressed tonight to apply it to your family members. Amen? Believing from your heart. You can believe the promise of God for your family from your spirit, your human spirit, even when your head is being bombarded with doubt. Even if your loved one's the biggest sinner that ever hit this earth, if you'll just watch what you say and speak God's word over them, they will not go off into eternity without confessing Christ. Amen? Yes. Acts 16:31. We don't have time to read the whole narrative. We'll just read what Paul said to the jailer when God set him free. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Paul said right here, "And they said," Paul and Silas said, "believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Let me tell you what's going on here, may I? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Let's start with that word house, and pay attention here, up here now, because you don't want to miss this, amen? "And thy house." That word house is family. Believe on the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean that just because you're saved that they're going to go to heaven. That means you can use your faith, put your faith on them getting saved, and God will see to it they get saved. He might not use you to do it, but He'll use some laborers somewhere, somehow, to where they'll hear the Word of God, and it gets down into their spirit, and they'll confess Jesus as Lord. He said right here in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus." Do you believe on Jesus? "And thou shalt be saved." That word is sozoed, S-O-Z-O, and it means to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be made whole, spirit, soul, and body, and your entire family. But you're going to have to believe it. How do you do it? Just like this. Every time a thought of doubt comes and says, "That blasphemer is never going to heaven," you open your mouth and you say, according to Acts 16:31, in Jesus' name, he is going to heaven, and he's not a blasphemer. He's a God lover. Amen. Don't be like Thomas and speak the circumstances and send that person to hell, when you could be like Abraham and speak the will of God and send him to heaven. "But Pastor, it doesn't look like it's working. It doesn't look..." Well, so what? So what? Faith believes. The Abraham kind of faith believes in spite of what it looks like. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "We walk by what? And not by what? We walk by faith and not by sight." It looked to me for the longest time that my dad was going to hell on a greased pole, and there was nothing I could do about it. But I wouldn't speak that. I believed Acts 16:31 over my parents for probably 20 years. 20 years? 20 years! Didn't look like they were going to heaven. There were times when I didn't want them to go to heaven. I didn't want them there, the way they treated me. Amen? There were times I wanted to say, "You can just go to hell." But I didn't. I kept my mouth in line, and I take Acts 16:31, and I'd say, and by the way, this talk about your family, your brothers and your sisters, your parents, your nieces and your nephews, and your cousins and your children. Amen? Oh, God is so good. He made the way. There is a way, even if it's... Whoa! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's just so good. I would take Acts 16:31 to the Father. I'd say, "Father, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by Acts 16:31. And I believe that neither of my parents will go off into eternity without making Jesus Christ their Lord." That's what I feel about it. That's what I believe about it. I don't care how they believe, what it looks like, what it doesn't look like, how they're acting, how they're living. I'm holding you to it, Father. God says, you know, that's the kind of talk I like to hear. Amen. He said in Isaiah 45:11, "Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." You tell me where you want me to direct my power, and I'll do it if you'll just stand. Amen. If you'll just not take anxious thought for your loved ones. Quit worrying about them. Amen. "Well, Pastor, ever since I started praying, things have just gotten worse." Well, that's scriptural too. The devil's going to kick up a firestorm and try to get you to start speaking those doubts in your head so they'll get in your spirit and your family won't get saved. Is everybody paying attention up here tonight? You got loved ones you believe in God for? That's how you do it. It's that simple. Amen? Don't speak. Jesus said, don't take those anxious thoughts. Never again say, "Of all my children, This one in particular is the most difficult when it comes to the things of God. Don't say that anymore. You know why? Because they'll just keep becoming more difficult when it comes to the things of God. Do you see it? Do you see it, Barbara? Hallelujah. Because I'm believing God for your salvation. Amen? Listen, if we listen to our feelings, we're going to end up defeated every time. If we go by circumstances, we're going to end up defeated every time. It's just like an instrument-rated pilot. If he decides to veer from what his instruments are telling him, flying in the darkness of night, and he can't see anything, there's no outside reference points, he's flying completely by instruments, if he decides he's not going to follow those instruments anymore, he's going to go by his inner ear, his inner ear is going to be telling him that he's right side up when he's upside down, and he's going to crash into the earth. Amen? Pilots spend decades training themselves to follow the instruments, not their physical feelings. And that's what we do as Christians. We spend the whole time we're here on earth training ourselves to believe the Word, not our physical feelings or outside reference points or physical circumstances, or we'll crash and burn. Amen? Let's stand up. Amen? So how do you believe with your heart? By not listening to your head. By taking no anxious thought when your head says you're never going to get healed. You're never going to get that financial blessing you've been seeking towards. And you start talking those doubts, you're going to crash and burn. Amen? You're making the Word of God void and of no effect. Amen? How do we believe with our hearts? By speaking forth the Word of God, even when we have to go crosswise and contrary to outward circumstances to do that. This is how faith works. This is how we believe with our hearts. Amen? Thomas said, I'll believe that when I see it. Abraham said, no, I'll see that when I believe it. That's how they birthed that boy. Amen. Keep doing what Abraham did. Say what God said. And don't let those doubts get down into your spirit. Amen. The bottom line is this. Pastor, pay attention up here now. You don't want to miss anything. Amen. Pastor, this is the bottom line. Pastor, how do I know if I'm in faith or not? You know what my answer is? Listen to what you're saying. Listen to the way you're talking. That's how you can tell if you're in faith or not. I tell people all the time, I can talk to you for 5 minutes, no matter what your problem might be. All I have to do is talk to you for 5 minutes, and I can tell you if you're in faith or not concerning that situation. Do you get that? Lift your hands and worship God if you would tonight. Say, I'm a man, a woman of faith. Say that right now. I'm a man, a woman of faith. Whatever you are, you say that. Amen. So I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. I take no anxious thought for my finances, for my family, my brothers, my sisters, my children, aunts and uncles, grandparents, nieces, nephews. I refuse to take anxious thoughts saying, but rather, like Father Abraham, the father of the faith, I speak of things that are not as though they were. My children are saved. My children are free from sin. My family saved. My finances are blessed. My body is healed and whole. My mind is sound. And I sleep like a baby. And by that I don't mean I wake up every 2 hours crying. I sleep through the night like a baby. Because I have peace in my mind. Because I'm a person of faith. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray as I dismiss these people here tonight. The Bible says that the sower sows the word, and immediately Satan comes to uproot the seed that was sown. The Bible also says we have authority over him. So by the authority vested in me through the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, Satan, you'll not uproot this seed in Jesus' name. You'll not uproot this seed in Jesus' name. You will not uproot the seed that was planted into their human spirits in this room tonight, in this place tonight. You will not uproot the seed in Jesus' name, but rather it will produce the life, the will, in the nature of God, in all who heard the sound of my voice tonight, in Jesus' strong name, in Jesus' strong name, it will produce the life, the will, in the nature of God, in the hearts and minds of all who heard my voice by recording or here in this sanctuary, in Jesus' strong name. You foul, unclean spirit of doubt and unbelief, loose these people and let them go free in Jesus' strong name. So I'm a believer, not a doubter. I talk faith, just like Jesus, just like God. I do not talk doubt. Holy Spirit of God, set a guard at my lips. Stand watch over the door of my mouth. And check me in my spirit. If I ever speak against your will again. In Jesus' strong name.